I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to TF3. Today we are obviously talking about the UEFA Champions League final. Real Madrid are champions after beating Atletico Madrid on penalties last night. Dave's here.
Honey, I'm so excited to talk about the Champions League final. What a game of football.
And Chris is here.
It's a pleasure.
So Real Madrid are champions today, winning on penalties, as I said, 5-4 in the end. Real Madrid scoring all five, Juan Ferran hitting the post for Atletico Madrid. Ronaldo scoring the winner, Dave. He had the vision. He saw it come to light. He said Real Madrid were the deserved winners. Would you agree with that, though?
I think that's a load of rubbish from Ronaldo. I thought Real Madrid were very poor. They were good in the first half. They dominated in the first half. The fluidity of that front three really caused Atletico Madrid problems. The interchange of positions between Gareth Bale and Benzema was really, really, really good. The Atletico Madrid sort of defensive midfielders didn't know what to do, and there was a big hole, which we don't usually see with Atletico. But it was kind of how the game played out, where Atletico went one goal down and they had to come out and play. But then Bale, Benzema and Ronaldo at some points were just coming into that 10 slot, picking up the ball and directly running at the Atletico centre-backs and the full-backs. And it was a strange, strange old game. I thought it would completely go the other way, where Real Madrid would have the ball, Atletico would be sitting back and they'd be the team counter-attacking. But it actually unfolded completely opposite. And Atletico had the ball, and players like Augusto Fernandes, that is very, very good in a defensive situation where he can defend deep, play his way out of trouble, play a simple pass. When he actually was given the ball and had, five Real Madrid players in midfield and then four behind to break down to get to goal, kind of showed his weakness as a player. And obviously Simeone got it completely right, taking him off at half-time.
What do you make of Ronaldo then, Chris? Because Edwin Marr writes in, he says, thoughts on Ronaldo's performance in the UCL final. He didn't look 100% fit, was pretty much the game passing by for large spells, but obviously stepped up to score that winning penalty. He got his top off straight away and celebrated as if it was all him, essentially.
You can't always give skill, but you can always give effort. And I think that's what Ronaldo did. I think he didn't look fit. Of course he didn't. He looked in pain at points during that game. But he did drive them forward physically in the sense that he was running hard. His effort was brilliant. And what I would say is, on a night where maybe he didn't shine, bar the winning penalty, which again, I thought was a moment he deserved, to be honest with you. Yeah. I think he sort of earned that. And yes, it was all about him. And of course he was going to take the deciding penalty because he wants those kind of moments. That's what his career is founded on. But I thought Gareth Bale really shone as well. And I think that game should win him a lot of fans in Real Madrid, because for me, every time he got the ball, he was trying to do something. He was trying to change the game just a little bit. And the fact that, again, he's not always had the easiest time with their supporters, that should now endear him, because, again, two Champions League finals, and he's been influential in both of them, albeit in very different ways.
Well, on that note, Dave, Matt writes in, he says, is Bale underappreciated at Real Madrid, as Chris says they put in a great performance, but Ronaldo's winning pen took most of the headlines. What do you reckon, Dave?
I think that, you know, we saw Ronaldo scoring that winning penalty, you know, 16 goals in the Champions League this season, so he did deserve that moment. But he didn't score against Atletico, didn't score against Manchester City. So it was an interesting sort of end to the Ronaldo and Real Madrid sort of season. Gareth Bale really stepped up. He really became that player that they've wanted him to be. What I was so frightened about Gareth Bale with his pace, you know, running at being very direct against the Atletico fullbacks. And I think they couldn't cope with him at all in that first half. Very energetic. And I think at set pieces as well, he's underrated massively. getting the flick on for the goal. I think he had two or three chances from crossed areas. Obviously scored the most goals from his head in Europe's top five leagues this season. So he's a threat, and he's sort of evolving his game in a way. It's taken him a while to evolve again. Obviously evolving from left back to be that left midfielder that really destroyed people. Now he's then going to Real and being an inside forward, just coming into his left foot, started to become a bit predictable. Now he's becoming unpredictable again, where he's busting a gut, getting into the box in at the right times. I think that was crucial to Real Madrid's sort of performance in the first half, was Bale's directness, his ability to take on a man and beat a man.
What about Zidane's impact at Real Madrid? Because obviously this is a manager who's coming halfway through the season. Could have been a scapegoat, really, after Rafa Benitez left. But ran Barcelona close for the league title after they had a little bit of a wobble. Wins the Champions League final, becoming the first Frenchman, the first French manager to win the Champions League. I mean, how much credit can we give him for this victory?
I think we can give him a lot of credit. The one thing that we said when he first joined was that actually the asset he will have that his predecessor did not is that he can relate to these players in a very unique way, because not only has he been on their level, he's been at that football club when he was on their level. And in fact, you could argue he actually was far above some of those players' level. But the ability to relate to them on a human level, use that one a fair few times, the ability to relate to them as human beings, I think that builds a lot of bridges in terms of working for him and adopting his style and wanting to do what he tells them he would like to do. And for me, that has been a really important factor. Certainly, he's improved them tactically. I think he's given them more freedom, which is needed in a team containing those kind of players, because there's a lot of attacking quality in that team. And I think that's something that Benitez undervalued and tried to get them almost to the point of being too defensive relative to the players around them. And that's something he's founded on himself as a coach. It's about stopping the opposition scoring first before we try and score. Zidane has a bit more freedom to it. There's a bit more, we're too good for them to stop us. Yeah. And I think having the confidence to play that deserves a lot of credit as well, because this is the thing, it's so much easier to stick than twist in football. Mm. And the fact that he's been willing to approach things, and in fairness, it hasn't been unanimously perfect for him. They haven't won the league, but they have won the Champions League. And I think last night against Atletico, we saw him adapt a little bit more. We saw him actually play to the opposition a little bit, but yeah, do it in the right ways.
I think Chris hits the nail on the head there, Dave, off the pitch. You know, we've heard the players like Bale and Ronaldo come out and say, you know, Zidane has given them that freedom. He's given them confidence. And there's been a new togetherness about the team since he's come in. On the pitch, though, Casemiro has obviously been a big part of Zidane's success. He's become an axis of the team. We had Diego Simeone before the game pointing out that he's the key player, the key danger man almost for Real Madrid. I mean, and it turned out to be that way, really.
Well, I think he's been absolutely crucial. Look at the stats in the Liga. I think with Casemiro, they've won 87% of their games compared to 53% when he's not played. So it's evident there in the statistics. But what he does give them is that aggression and that ability to stick. When everyone else is bombing forward, he is that man that's covering. He's covering the fullbacks, which he did very, very well yesterday, covering Marcelo when he pushed forward. But he was very aggressive, got in the right place at the right time. It was just a very, very good performance from him defensively. Obviously, Real Madrid sat back a lot. We didn't expect that. So it sort of fell into his game. You know, he won three tackles, made seven clearances, in the game. But for me, he was absolutely outshone by another defensive midfielder, and that is Gabri. Gabri does not deserve to be today sitting there with our Champions League winners' medal. He was my man of the match by a country mile. Completed more passes than any other player on the pitch, won more tackles, made more interceptions, played that crucial pass to Juanfran for the goal, and it was an excellent display. Yes, Casemiro's good, and yes, Casemiro's been crucial to this team, but Gabi single-handedly kept Atletico in this final. There were so many times where he was the man that was in the penalty area that intercepted or got the block or pushed a player wide, nicked it, came out with such composure on the ball. And I just feel it's a bit, you know, Casemiro, yeah, again, he does deserve the plaudits because they won the game, but I feel like if Gabi had played in Casemiro's position, Real Madrid would have won 3-4, 5-1. You know, I think that's the impact that Gabi unfortunately has had in the latter stage of his career, now 32 years old, that doesn't have a Spanish cap. And, you know, imagine if he was English. It would be heralded as the next Messi. But he just was unfortunate on the wrong side. I think with Simeone as well and Zidane, I thought that Zidane won the first half, but Simeone won the rest of the game. The only slight mistake I'd say with what Simeone made was in extra time. He kind of changed his system. So at halftime, what he needed to do was bring off Fernandes and bring on Carrasco, which he did very well. They had to switch to a 4-3-3. They were getting outnumbered in the centre of the park and they were too disjoint from front to back. They needed the extra man in there. They needed Koke inside. They needed Saul inside, and he did that. Gabri became the single holder and absolutely, you know, grabbed the show there. But having Koke centrally and getting the ball to Carrasco was so, so crucial to their attack. And getting Griezmann wide to really trouble Marcelo on the counter-attack. And I think that potentially Simeone may have gone into the game sort of believing in his own tactics a little bit too much and not playing the situation and playing the game where Real Madrid had three in midfield. He should have matched them with three in midfield and they probably would have won the tie. The little critique I do have of Simeone was as soon as they scored that goal and equalised, they went back to a 4-4-2 shape, which it was a bit of a mistake because in football, when you've got the momentum, keep momentum and keep attacking, I think they could have won that game in 90 minutes if they'd stick with a 4-3-3.
That's interesting. Harrison Buckley writes in, Chris, he says, what are Atleti missing? Two finals that they've lost now, unfortunately. Maybe they need someone who's done it and won it all. I mean, do you think they're lacking experience? Ronaldo came out after the game and said, you know, Real Madrid's experience is what saw them through.
I think you could get mired in the debate of, is it experience or is it mentality? Ooh, which I'm sure
mentality
our absent friend, Mr. McKenna, I'm sure will now jump in with something far more intelligent than I can tell you. And what I mean by that is, I looked at the Griezmann penalty in normal time, and everything about the way he approached that said, I'm incredibly nervous, which is understandable. Huge stage, will be remembered forever. The fact that he was so quick with his approach to it as well, nothing about it said, I'm confident, I'm ready to take this. You contrast that with Ronaldo's fifth penalty in extra time in the shootout. There was so much more composure there. And I'm not entirely sure if that's just experience. I think part of that is also the way he thinks, because credit to Ronaldo, that's not the first time he's taken a big penalty. And he's missed some in the past. So, again, it's that notion of, and Rio Ferdinand's talked about this, that it's so much more about your mentality over your actual talent and whether you can handle a situation. He always cites Ravel Morrison being sort of the best example, and the fact that Pogba and people like that looked up to Ravel Morrison in the Man United Academy. But it was the likes of Pogba that had the mentality needed to elevate themselves to that level. And it can come with experience. I think, of course, it can to a degree. It's that chicken and egg thing, though, which comes first, the wins or the mentality. I think if they could get someone of that ilk, perhaps to raise the level slightly, it wouldn't be the worst thing. But then equally, you look at it and say, there's five penalties to take. So if you get one guy in, you might just score one more penalty than you missed. And even then, the penalty shot itself was such fine margins because it was one miss.
It was one off the post as well.
It was like he skied it over. If all of them had tanked it, I'd say yes, you clearly need to kind of add more pieces in there that have been there and won things. But actually, the margin is so fine.
So close again, Dave. J. James Alward writes in, what now for Simeone? Can he take them further or should he seek a new challenge? I mean, what do you reckon? Because obviously two finals now in the last 3 years, falling at the last hurdle, but it feels like there's almost more to come from this Atletico Madrid team.
Yeah, I think we saw yesterday that their adaptability again was on show. Going from defence to possession is a massive switch and change. Something that we've not seen in this Atletico Madrid team recently. What he needs to do is just a similar thing, just needs to keep going. I think that potentially upgrading someone like Fernando Torres didn't have the greatest of games, to be quite honest, was very poor. I think he completed only five passes in 120 minutes. So it's not really good enough for a forward that you need to be able to play off in a way to hold up. I thought that this Atletico Madrid team had evolved further than it had done. You know, you think of players like Diego Costa, again, if he could have been there last night with Antoine Griezmann, now that would have won them the game, you'd say. That having that calibre of striker in there would have won them the game. I thought that they'd moved on. I thought Torres could have done a job last night, but he was quite poor. The only, obviously, big thing that he got was winning that penalty, but apart from that, he was quite poor. Didn't really get himself involved enough. It sort of felt like he was getting bullied by Pepe and getting bullied by Ramos, who had a very, very good game himself, Sergio Ramos scoring the equaliser, but just overall being that sort of Ramos from the Ledesma season that was so physical, was capable of coming out and attacking players in that sort of 10 slot and not being too giddy. That cynical tackle where he got booked was brilliant. You know, Carrasco on the break with, two people to go past with it. I think it was a 3-on-2 at that point, taking him down there. That showed his experience and showed his sort of mentality that he will take a yellow card if needs be, and that was a brilliant, brilliant yellow card. But I feel Atletico, maybe a top-class striker, and then maybe another central midfielder, you know, to give a bit of variation, or another winger maybe. So if Griezmann isn't quite getting into the game, you've got Carrasco to go on one side and then someone else to go on the other side that's still sort of devastating. But you need someone that's young, someone that's hungry, and someone that's going to take on Simeone's mentality.
Need to add in a little bit more quality in there maybe than Kristen to challenge next season.
I think so. I think, again, Dave makes a great point in saying a striker is what's needed. Torres, for all of...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The admiration and the love for what he represents to that club. He's not the caliber needed. He's someone that they picked up cheap that I would say has performed slightly above expectation for his age and where his career had gone. They now need to use that money and get someone. They did, in fairness, you know, they had Jackson Martinez, but that just didn't work. And I think had that transfer, had that situation gone a bit smoother, had it, you know, yielded the success it was intended to, then we might not be talking about this final in the same way, because he would have given them something different. They thankfully, from an Atletico standpoint, were able to recoup a large portion of that money that they spent on him, so now they can invest that in someone. Who that turns out to be, again, we could sit here until the next Champions League final trying to speculate who would be the right man.
Lukaku has been linked. Not saying it's going to happen, but that would be that would be a very good move, I'd say, for Atletico Madrid. What of Real Madrid then, Chris? Because, I mean, we've talked before about how this is a poorly run club. I mean, when Benitez got sacked, we talked in depth about how Florentino Perez is a big problem at the club. There's no stability there. That's almost holding them back. Yet, two Champions League titles now in the last three seasons. Finally won the Decima, obviously, back in 2014 against Atletico. Now the Undecima, as it's apparently called. Do you feel like they should almost be winning even more? This is obviously one of, if not the most expensively assembled side in football history. Those two European crowns are obviously impressive, but yet only one league title in the last 7 years. Should they be even more successful almost?
I think they should be making more of an impact in the league. That is what you can say, because credit to Barcelona, when they've won the Champions League, the league has often come with it. And the ability to manage competitions like that is very difficult. It is very difficult. I think that's one reason I've always been quite impressed with Max Allegri, is because when he replaced Conte, they got to the Champions League final, I think, in his first year. That, to me, shows you can manage things. Whereas, for all the credit that I give Antonio Conte for what he did at Juventus, too often his foot was on the pedal to the floor when it didn't need to be. And it meant that when they reached that stage of the season, they were all completely gassed and they couldn't carry it over into the latter stages of European competition. The thing with Real Madrid is, and this is again the crux of it, is I don't know how organised you have to be to win a cup competition. You have to be good. I don't know how organised you have to be, because it's usually one night every 2 weeks, every other month. There's not the consistency needed like there is in the league. What I think you can say to answer your question is, yeah, they should be winning more because they've got the infrastructure to do so. And as we're seeing more and more now with Barcelona struggling to a degree financially to tie down these players for that next generation, that next few years, Real Madrid don't have any of those concerns. And this really is where, if I'm a Real Madrid fan, I'm looking and saying, this is where we need to claw things back. We need to establish a dominance back in Spanish football and really push forward while our rivals are sort of wobbling slightly.
What do you think Real Madrid needs to do this Summer Dave, because obviously it's having won that title, you can't rest on your laurels. You need to get bigger, go bigger from here. Daniel writes in saying, should Real sell Ronaldo and rebuild?
I'd say no. I think that Gareth Bale needs to become the Ronaldo in a way before Ronaldo should move on. Ronaldo is still a top class footballer, 16 goals in the Champions League, 8 more than any other player, so he's doubling everyone else's goal scoring tally, so he's still at that top level. As Kristen said, that penalty was unbelievable, the composure, the run up. I think that's what Griezmann needs to work on, is a style of taking a penalty. I think that's a big thing. Technically, people like Clive Woodward, the England Rugby World Cup winner, who's a great, great sort of coach, analyst and so forth, says the best set piece takers, they have a style. And you're going into the motions of when you have a style. Johnny Wilkinson had a very strange style. David Beckham had a style. Ronaldo has a style. Griezmann needs to adapt that to get to that level. But back to your question. I think we've got to give Bale maybe 2 more years. 2 more years, and then he can start being that man, the guy that's going to be scoring 40 goals a season. We saw in Tottenham that he was 20 goals in the Premier League, which is a great return for any Premier League player. But he needs to take that to La Liga and get fit for a year. You know, he's been off, you know, in and out of the Real Madrid team this season just because he's not been fit. I'd sell James Rodriguez. I'd use that money and potentially look to buy some more talented young Spanish players. They've got Asensio that they bought from maybe Real Mallorca that's been very good this season. Bring him in. I think they need to integrate more young players. If Lucas Vasquez coming off the bench for Zidane, that was a big, big move. Bringing in someone that's from the Real Madrid Academy that they bought back from Espanyol, that defensively is a very good player. You saw the work that he did in the last sort of half of extra time. In the first half of extra time, he was very, very good at getting in front of Danilo. Danilo was very, very shaky. Carrasco caused him all sorts of problems. Tactically, it was a clever thing to do for Zidane, was get another right midfielder on and sit him in front. But I feel like more players need to be integrated from this Real Madrid Academy. If they start getting players through, they have the capabilities to have an academy on par with Barcelona. And that's what I feel Zidane needs to do. Instead of going out there and spending 50 million quid on someone, get some young players in, put them into the Castilla maybe, and look to bring them in. You know, players like Odegaard, who's, you know, the Norwegian lad that's very, very talented, he's not had the greatest of times at Real Madrid so far. And I think if they can get players like him into the academy, then push them through to the first team, that's probably the better model for Real Madrid. That'll win them more league titles than this current policy of getting 80 million quid and going, all right, okay, let's go and buy Anthony Martial for 55 million quid or 130 million quid when he hits the age of 25, 26. They need to produce their own, and that's a big thing for beating Barcelona in the league for me.
Right then, let's finish up the Q&A podcast with some questions. Kind of makes sense. John Jay writing in, who is the best central midfielder in the world? He asks Chris. He says Verratti.
To me, it feels like being asked who's the best band in the world, because the thing is with central midfield, there are variants in terms of attacking, defence, and it depends what you put more kind of onus on.
Yeah.
I think Verratti is a beautiful player. I'll give him that. I think he could definitely be the heir to Pirlo's throne. In terms of midfielders, I enjoy watching the most at the minute. I appreciate he's not the best. I quite enjoy watching Granit Xhaka when I can.
Oof. Oof. Who is the best band in the world there, Chris? I mean, you got me thinking. that's a tough... That is a question. Maybe we'll save that for...
The Proclaimers.
Wow. Dave, have you got a favourite central midfielder? Maybe he's like almost the most complete. So Chris makes a good point there. You know, where's the emphasis on this, on grading these midfielders? Who's the most complete central midfielder in the world for you?
I think right now, right this second, on current form, for me, it's Gabby.
Gabby, I knew you were.
I think he's got it all. He's got everything, absolutely everything, in terms of his passing range, ability to read the game, tackle. He's a captain. He just has every single attribute you want to have as a central midfielder, apart from maybe having a good long shot. Next season, the best central midfielder in world football will be Paul Pogba, full stop. That is going to happen.
Ooh, I like that a lot.
That's a good shout.
Next question comes in from Angry Bayern fan, probably because he didn't win the Champions League, at Quiff Flick, says, who will win the UCL next season? Not even 24 hours after Real Madrid crown champions, who is going to win it next season? That's a tough question, isn't it? Things change so much throughout the season. I thought Barcelona were going to win it again this year, but they obviously had their wobble. No team has ever won it back to back, and I'm inclined to think it'll stay that way. So I don't think it'll be Real Madrid. I want to see Atletico Madrid put in a bit of a challenge next season, maybe go all the way. Guardiola coming in to Manchester City. they could go that next level from the semi to the final, especially if Guardiola brings in the players he wants. Early, baseless, hypothetical prediction. You know, I'm going to go for Bayern Munich. Carlo Ancelotti coming in, the joint most successful manager in the history of the competition. I'm going to go for Bayern Munich. What do you reckon, Chris?
I'm going to agree with you. I think Bayern Munich.
He's a specialist. Dave?
Carlo is, yeah, specialist.
Oh, they called it last week. Called Bayern Munich last week. But the dark horses, again, are Juventus. Paul Pogba, Dybala. Incredible.
Ben Owosu writes in, just how long can we expect Spanish clubs to be dominating European football? Obviously, back-to-back winners in the Champions League and the Europa League. I believe that's the first time that's ever happened. Chris, it's hard to see the end of the Spanish dominance ending anytime soon, even with these incredible managers coming into the Premier League next season, as we talked about last week. But the Spanish clubs, the best Spanish clubs, are, I don't want to say head and shoulders above, but there does seem to be that extra bit of quality in the Spanish league for those top sides.
I think it ends when Sevilla finish fourth in the Champions League group. Because that's the thing that we keep seeing, is they drop out of the top competition. What you have to say is credit to them, because again, for Sevilla to do it three times in the same competition, that to me is impressive. What you can say about the Champions League is it's been different winners.
Mm.
I do think, again, the Spanish dominance, you ignore the elite, i.e. Barcelona, Real Madrid, and what they can do. You look at teams like Sevilla. There's a team that has used its financial or lack of financial power to actually innovate the way that it does transfers. And I think they deserve immense credit for that. And to be honest, I think that's something the Premier League could learn from, because all too often in the Premier League, instead of coaching through problems, they seek to solve it with financial aid and buying somebody new. And I think that's something that Spain tends not to do nearly as much.
Final question this week then from Matt W at Turtle Muncher. Do you see Atletico still a team that can be drained of all their top players? If so, who do you see leaving? It's an interesting question, Dave. Obviously, after the previous final in 2014, when they obviously lost to Real Madrid, Diego Costa obviously went to Chelsea, Thibaut Courtois returning to Chelsea, Filippo Luis going to Chelsea as well. Chelsea had a thing for Atletico Madrid players there. But yeah, do you see any of the key players leaving this summer, or do you think Diego Simeone can convince them to stay together and put another push together for next season?
See, it's quite interesting. It's similar to what Borussia Dortmund have, where they kept on, you know, their talent kept on getting eaten, whether it's Aguero, Diego Costa, Falcao, you know, maybe Griezmann this summer. But what you see with the players is players like Koke that sort of mentioned, oh yeah, I can go and sign for a big club and get loads of money, but why would I want to do that? I'm in the happiest place right now. And I think with the Atletico Madrid Youth Academy that is producing some pretty top players, and they've got quite a young squad, you've got to remember that. If Simeone can keep this squad together for the next 2 to 3 years, then they can become a dominant force. I think that's it. They just need to keep this squad now. You need to, whoever comes in from Griezmann, they just need to reject absolutely everything. 100 million, whatever, we'll keep him, because he's of that calibre. And if they can build on that, yes, that's good. I just feel it's a bit of a stronger side than what Klopp developed at Borussia Dortmund. They're a tighter knit bunch. They fight for each other a little bit more than that Dortmund team did. And I do feel that they will be able to hold on to their stars now. I feel that's, you know, players like Diego Godin, who turned down moves to Chelsea, Man United, any, you know, Real Madrid, the teams that went in for him last summer, and they kept these players. I hope that they keep them together, and I hope that Simeone can continue his excellent coaching run so far.
Fingers crossed. Guys, that brings an end to this weekend's Q&A podcast. Congratulations to Real Madrid. The undécima, I believe as they call it in Spain, the 11th European title. Fantastic achievement for them. Thank you very much for listening. Send in your questions for next week at The Front Three on Twitter. Remember to leave your iTunes reviews. For now, though, Dave, where can the good people find more of your face and work if they're that way inclined?
Well, I think they've got to go on Facebook, search The Front Three, give it a like there. But what I'd like to say, Adam, is I think it's called the Gary Decima. I did my Googling before, went on Google Translate, and it's the Gary Goals Decima that they've got now.
That is that the actual translation in?
That's what it's supposed to call me. Yeah, it's in Spanish.
Chris, thank you very much for standing in for Lawrence once again. For now, though, where can the good people find you? Because technology is crucial, Chris.
It is, and if you type my name into Facebook and scroll past the news stories,
yeah,
then you will find a page.
All the news stories about your life, all the paparazzi following you about, yeah. Scroll past all that garbage.
Me falling out of China White.
Yeah.
Jodie Marsh.
Nice. nice.
That's very niche. I can't think a single one of our American listeners will get that one.
Who the fuck is Jodie Marsh?
Leave Safe Search on if you search her name, would be my advice.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
anyway.
You can find me on Facebook at my name, which should be in the description.
We'll be back on Wednesday, as will Lawrence back off his holiday. We'll see you then. Until Wednesday, have a bloody good week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.